In the Quran, we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated some of the names of the prophets who are very grateful to him, sincere prophets in their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has stated Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Nuh. What does he say about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Surah An-Nahl 120-121. An-Nahl. In An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kana Ibrahim abdan shakura." Kana Ibrahim abdan shakura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised him because he was one of the grateful servants of Allah in Surah An-Nahl 120-121. My paper did not quote this verse. I need to look at it. I just wrote an observation here about Nuh and Ibrahim alayhi salam. 120-121. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه ربه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم اجتباه. There is another verse in which it is stated اجتباه ربه. Actually the same meaning has been stated in another chapter which I also do not remember. وَأَتَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ibrahim alayhi salam was ummah. What is ummah? Everybody knows that ummah is a community. Ibrahim alone was ummah, showing you the strength he has. The ummah here means strength. Of course, when we are one ummah, it means that we are strong. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was ummah. He was very, very strong. قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. He is telling you that Ibrahim alayhi salam was always following the straight path. He never deviated to perform shirk. He never associated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything. What does it mean? Because if you associate something with Allah, it is one of the things to show that you are not grateful to Him. If you are indeed grateful to Allah, you shouldn't associate Him with anything. And then he says, Shakira li'an'umi. Ibrahim alayhi salam was always grateful to Allah for the blessings he has given him. Ijtabahu rabbuhu, ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also tested Ibrahim to see whether he's very, very sincere in his gratitude, whether he was very sincere in his shukur to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He tested him with so many things. You know very well that Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to take away his beloved wife. Taking her away where there was no food, no water. And he left her there for many, many years. But he had also to take his beloved son, the only one he had at that time. And all that was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see whether Ibrahim was going to do it. Why? It is Allah who gave him the wife. It is Allah who gave him the son. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says to him, take these two away from you. And he takes them. Why? Because of the strong iman he had. He knew that it is Allah who gives, and it is Allah who is instructing me to take these two away from me. So he's not aiming something bad for me. For sure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give me something better. Ibrahim did not hesitate. But then also after some time, when he got to meet his son, he was really, very pleasing to the eyes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing him to slaughter him. So this time he's not to lose him forever. Last time he had to take him away. Maybe there is hope we will find him again. But this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to slaughter him. He's going to die. Ibrahim did not hesitate. He had to fulfill. Why? He still had the strong belief. Allah is the one who gave me this son, and is the one who wants me to slaughter him. And the son himself was very patient. He told his father, "Do as instructed by Allah. I'm going to be patient. I'm not going to be fighting, making it difficult for you to do it. I won't fight, but I'll be very patient and make the work small." That was Ibrahim, his son. And Ibrahim had to wait. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he saw Ibrahim had placed the knife on his neck and the knife did not touch, Ibrahim had a fear. Maybe I'm not grateful. Maybe I have the fear. Why is it that the knife is not touching? He had that fear. But Allah spoke to him and he said, you fought fear. What is it? All that to do. And that is the gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why Allah praises Ibrahim in the Quran. Today, who can do this, of course? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to instruct you, supposing that the Allah does not communicate to us like prophet, to slaughter your son, you won't slaughter him. But people slaughter their son. If a bomb says you have to slaughter him, if you are to get wealth, there are people who do that. They kill their children because of wealth. It is a condition. If you want it, you have to slaughter him. And they do it. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was not promised something material. It was just an order and he had to fulfill it. So that is about Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he is considered to be among the Salihin, the good people, and he will be with them on the day of judgment. We do find another ayah speaking about Nuh alayhi salam. This is about Ibrahim. Nuh alayhi salam is in Isra, ayah number 3. Isra number 3 is the next chapter, by the way. The next one. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Zurriyatan man hamalna ma'a Nuh, innahu kana abdan shakura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you about the zurriya, the offspring of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took together with Noah in the boat. Noah alayhi salam, together with the survivors of the flood, those were the pious people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah had to save them. And Allah has praised Nabi Noah alayhi salam in this chapter. And he says, Kana abdan shakura. He was a grateful servant of Allah. A grateful servant of Allah in what sense? In many, many ways. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, you all know very well that his son, one of his son refused to enter the boat, and he spoke to him. He didn't want to lose him, but he preferred Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the son refused, he had to leave him, and he saved the believers. Nabi Nuh alayhi salam did suffer so much, just like other prophets. Surah Nuh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells about Nabi Nuh, who spent 950 years of da'wah. I do not know of any prophet who spent 950 years of da'wah apart from Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. These are not the years he lived. The Quran does not mention how long Nabi Nuh alayhi salam lived, but it says he did the da'wah 1,000 years by 50, meaning to minus 50, illa 50, minus 50. If you minus 50 is 950 years of da'wah. These were not easy kind of years for him. It's not because he enjoyed throughout these years. If Nabi Nuh alayhi salam did suffer throughout this period of time, when he used it to speak to the people, saving them from Azabullah, and you are not listening to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased his blessing so that they may get to appreciate. They never appreciated. He kept on reminding them. They did not want to be reminded. But he used it to cover their ears and running away. And he used it to go after them, being very patient. They used it to abuse him, mentioning all kinds of things, calling him by certain things which are not good. Yet he did not talk. He continues being very, very patient. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised him in Surah Al-Isra, ayah number 3, that Kana Abdan Shakura. He was among the grateful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after looking into these things which we have seen, there are certain other things which we need to again point out. This was something I stated last week, but I did not give the ayah in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always appreciating. That is what I say. There's nothing you can ever do and Allah does not appreciate it. If you ask him in the dua, he appreciates because you remember him. You ask him and you don't ask anybody. And therefore he does reward you for that. And I did say, when does he reward you? It's up to him. You don't have to force him to reward you. But he does not refuse to reward. Either it may be immediate, or it may be after some time, or it may be on the day of judgment. But because Allah knows the nature of the human beings, that the human beings, they never get to understand why Allah has delayed the reward. They feel impatient. Sometimes they commit suicide. Oh, they start mentioning certain bad things about him. He says in Surah Al-Baqarah 216 Al-Baqarah. وَعَسَى أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. He says you may hate something, but it is good for you. وَعَسَى أَنْ تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. You may love something and it is bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ. Allah always knows. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you do not know. It is true, our knowledge is so limited. So limited that you may not know after what is good for you. Yet you want that. You are asking Allah to give it to you. In your eyes it is good. Everybody would like to have it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to give it to you because he knows your weakness. He knows your weakness. If you are to get it, you are going to end up becoming a kafir, disbelieving him. So he decides not to give it to you because he wants to give you that kind of guidance which will lead you to paradise. Some others he will give because they have that strength. Why? We say that the word ni'mah in the Quran, as it is described actually in the fitna, every ni'mah is a fitna, is a trial. Allah is trying you, is testing you with whatever ni'mah he has given you. And you should always look at the ni'mah you have as a trial from Allah. And make sure that you pass the test. If you don't pass the test, you will not be able to enter paradise. Why? You will not be able to enter paradise because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. At-Takathur, ayah number 8. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. At-Takathur. Ayah number 8. ثُمَّ, and then on that day of judgment, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is emphasizing, using the noun tawkid to emphasize the fact that on the day of judgment he will surely ask you about the ni'am he has given you. Whatever he has given you, whether it is part of your body, he's going to ask you one by one about the eyes, about the ears, about the akal, understanding, and about everything he has given you besides the material things that we acquire. He's going to ask you, and you have to explain to him. You have to explain to him every detail about what he has given you, without which you will be punished. Actually, if you never show gratitude to what he gave you, you will not be able to survive the punishment from the Lord's judgment. So this is something we need to remember. Then Allah, at the same time, as I've said, he's telling you that you may love something, you may hate something, and it is good for you. Now you ask Allah to give you something and he has not given it to you, and you ask, why has he not given me what I've asked him, and I'm doing whatever he's commanding me to do? That is because he knows and you don't know. It might be that if you did get it, you might have deviated. Just like Salaba, we always repeat this story of Salaba. I've been listening to the story of Salaba so many times, hundreds of times. Salaba is Sahaba who asked Rasulullah to pray for him to get rizqi, to become rich, because he was fed up of being poor. And Rasulullah did not want to do it in the beginning, but he forced him. Rasulullah didn't refuse. Why? Rasulullah never said no to anything. Whoever came and asked him, Rasulullah always used it to give. He never said no. So he prayed for him. But you know the end of Salaba. Salaba left the salah, being very busy monitoring his word until he passed away. He deviated from the straight path. So if he did not get it, he would have been among the foremost, because he used the order to be on the first line in the prayer. He was very, very committed to the ibadah, yet he did not attend. That was about Sa'aba. Then, we all know very well about the story of the three children of Israel. The three children of Israel have stated this story. Now this is going to be the fourth time I mentioned this story here. These three children of Israel, one of them was Akra, one who was balded, he did not have hair on the head. Then another one was Abra, he had skin disease. And then the other one was Amma, was blind. This story is vivid in your mind about these three. They are very grateful servants of Allah. They used it to perform ibadah in a way you don't perform it. They feared him so much. But then each one had a condition, something which was not good. He didn't like it. But actually that was the ni'mah. It was the ni'mah Allah gave him. That is why I said that the word ni'mah does not necessarily mean that which pleases you. It may be something which displeases you. And that is the ni'mah Allah has given you. Allah gave the ni'mah to one of them that he was blind. He denied him the eyes to see. Why? Because the eyes see a lot of things. And in the name of the Day of Judgment, accepted in Ashakar, so Allah is going to ask you about every ni'mah. So if you never had eyes to see, you will be saved. You are going to spend a very short time in the mahshar, because the eyes see a lot of things. And most of the things we commit are due to the eyes, what we see. Now Allah didn't give him the eyes. He was blessed for that, but he didn't know that he was blessed. Then this one, he had skin disease. It was also a blessing. Why? When you have a skin disease, of course you suffer, and there is no suffering unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. To the extent that if you knock a stone while you're walking and you're a believer, Allah will forgive you for some of the sins you've committed if you believe in him. So he had a skin disease. Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam had a skin disease. It was also, you call it a blessing, even though it is suffering. The bald one, he didn't have hair on his head. It never grew on his head. People used to look at them and they used to laugh at them. You don't have hair. Everybody talk about it. You are blind. People used to talk about it. This one, skin disease. People used to avoid him. Nobody wanted to be near to him. So they are fed up of that kind of situation. They are not patient. We have spoken about patience. When Allah says in Surah Al-Insan that you are worthy for your being patient with the paradise, as we have stated. Then these three prayed to Allah, of course, to take away these kind of sufferings they had. You know very well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brought the angel. The angel came in the form of whatever form he came in, and he prayed for the three. He prayed for the three. When he got to ask the first one, what is it that you would like to have in your life? He said, of course, I would like to have hair on my head, to look handsome. He prayed to Allah, and the hair grew. Then he asked him, what next would you like to have? He said, I would like to have, according to one narration, a lot of God. According to another narration, a lot of. So, this is what he asked for. Those days, having these, meant that you are rich. Unlike today, you know, when we look at things in different ways, having houses or cars or whatever, but those days they used to keep a lot of goods or cars, which meant that somebody had a lot of money. Other gave him. This one, the one with skin disease. When the angel asked him, after praying for him, to have a nice skin, what he wanted, he stated, either cow or camel. And Allah gave him. He became very rich. Then the third one, the blind. When Allah asked him, when the angel asked him what he wanted, of course he wanted to see. And he prayed to Allah. And he got to see. Second, he said he also wanted to be rich. And then he asked for the God. So he became very rich. Just like the remaining two. And then years, the deed passed, many, many years. And the angel came back again in the form of a human being who was very old. Miskin, did not possess. He comes to the father. I'm a miskin, troubling. I need help from you. He said, I'm very sorry. I don't have help. I don't have anything I can give you, but this one appeared in the form of a person who had no hair. Just like him before. He had no hair. He don't want to look at him. He even chased him away because of his ugliness. And then he reminded him, were you not like this before? That you don't have hair on your head? And the other blessed you with it. He said, no, I've always had it. So he prayed to Allah to take him back to that condition. And he lost everything. And he lost his hair. That was Allah. The second one, when he appeared to him, he appeared like a person with skin disease, miskin. He needed help. He said, I'm very sure I can't help you. Whatever I have is just enough for me and my family. And you have to leave this place because I don't want to see you. Because of his condition, having skin disease. He said, were you not like this before? He denied it. He said, no, I've always been very good looking. I've never had skin disease like you. He prayed to Allah to take him back to that condition. And that was Azab. He got it. The third one, who was blind before, this angel appears to him in the form of a blind person. Miskin, doesn't possess. When he asked for help, he says that take whatever you need from my wealth. It is up to you to decide how much you want to take. Before I was like you, I didn't see, and the other blessed me with the eyes. So I have to be grateful to him. And I should give what I have to you. Just take. And he told him, I'm saying by Allah. And I've already tested the two of your friends. They have failed the test. And Allah has punished them for their being ungrateful to him. You are the grateful one. And Allah will bless you more and more. So that was the story of the three among the children of Banu Israel. This story is not there to enjoy. And Rasulullah never stated it in the hadith reported by Imam Tirmidhi, so that we enjoy listening to it. Whatever has been stated in Islam, in terms of stories, it contains a message for those people understanding. What is the message that you have to get? The message that you have to get here will be, what are the forms of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you show shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Shukr may be shown in three ways. It may be shown with the heart, bil qalb. Heart. It may be shown with the saying what. These are the words. It may be in the form of words. It may be in the form of action. In the form of heart, thought. When, as a believer, you want to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly, you have to be convinced that what I have is from Allah. Whatever I have is from Him. It is not because of my intelligence. Nothing has been attained based on intelligence. Whatever we have is from Allah. Even the intelligence is from Him. He gave it to you. Suppose He did not give it to you. Did not have intelligence. Would you be able to arrive at what you have? Of course, no. So here you believe in Him, that He is the one who does provide, and there is nothing which can come about without Him. That alone is contrary to the shukr, which is actually in your head. And you are required to always think about it and never forget it. The second one is in saying. What are they saying? When you say Alhamdulillah, Ashukrulillah, and so on, you praise Allah, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed me, who has given me what I have. We see that Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam was blessed by Allah. He was the king of everything down here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that power. And he enjoyed that kind of life which he led, and nobody will ever lead that kind of life. No any prophet who was blessed like Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. who used even to command the jinn and will not command the jinn. But Nabi Sulaiman did not commit kufur. Instead, he was very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he gave him. He used it to thank him in what? Thought and action. The Quran narrates what he used it to say. Surah An-Naml 27, Ayah number 19. I did write down this for those who may need it. Sometimes, of course, even though this is said in the Quran, it is very difficult sometimes to, you know, go through it, unless you have it written on the paper and report it somewhere to read it, if you never memorize it. He said, Rabbi awzini an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa na'amala salihan tarda wa alikini bi rahmatika fi ibadika salihin. The same dua has been repeated somewhere, I think in Ibrahim, but the end is not the same. The beginning is the same. It has been repeated twice in the Quran. When you look at the meaning, it is actually about Ibrahim asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make him grateful to Allah's favors. Whatever favors Allah has given him, whatever things that Allah has given him, and whatever Allah has given to his parents. Why to his parents? Because the parents take care of you from small. They take care of you, they spend on you. What they spend on you is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That love which they show to you is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are being grateful to Allah, don't forget your parents. Don't forget them, because they also have to spend time doing whatever they did for you. You need to ask Allah to bless them, just as you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you more and to bless you more. Here, Sulaiman alayhi salam prays to Allah to make him a grateful servant of him, and also to make him appreciate what his parents have contributed, and is asking for the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place him among the good servants. This dua is very, very important, and it should be read all the time for those people who need to be very grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu wa sallam, at one time he took the hand of Mu'az, and he did say, Mu'az, inni la uhibbuk, I love you Mu'az, thumma usika ya Mu'az, and I give you wasiya, will, la tada'anna dubra kulla salati taqul, illa an taqul. Never leave the salah at the end of every prayer, never leave, before you say to Allah, Allahumma a'inni ala zikrik wa shukrik wa husni ibadati. Oh Allah, always keep me on your remembrance. Make me remember you all the time. Wa shukrik, make me always grateful to you. Wa husni ibadati, and make me among those people who perform the best ibadah. Make me always perform the best in terms of ibadah. Why ibadah is to show gratitude to Allah, shukur to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are performing the salah, you are showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you don't do it in the right way, your gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not done well. So that is why Rasulullah is telling Mu'adh, you should do this every prayer. You ask Allah to make you among those people who are grateful to him, and those who perfect their ibadah, as one way to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has given them. That also needs to be read.